Okay. Since you're sitting on the floor and because of the time, I'll definitely keep it short because I know how it can be challenging sitting on the floor. Okay. Challenge with the space up here, too. Okay, here we go. My name is Chuck Doobie, and I get to work here in senior high and also get to speak sometimes, which is a great joy. I learn a good bit from having to study the Word for myself. But so just to kind of give you a backdrop for those of you who are new, first time here, we were walking through a series starting with the graduates, senior hires that are graduating, moving on. We gave them opportunities to share from 1 Timothy chapter 1 all the way, and now it's chapter 6. So they, for the first four chapters, they shared what it meant to them, what they gleaned from it. So we're going to finish up and wrap up that series on 1 Timothy. I'm going to talk on chapter 6. I'm going to share kind of what God showed me from that chapter and hopefully encourage you guys with some nuggets from that. Before I get started, let me go ahead and pray. I need prayer today as I speak for some clarity. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just pray that you would speak to us. I pray that your word would speak to our souls and would you lead us and show us and direct us if there's something we need to change in just the way we live and the way we act and behave towards others. Would you just give me the right words to say, Lord, let it not come from me but from you and help me just be sensitive to that. In Jesus' name, amen. All right, so a little bit about my background. I grew up in Germany, son of a missionary family and one of seven kids. So growing up in Germany with so many kids and a family of nine is huge in Germany. And so we didn't really have a whole lot. I got hand-me-down clothes. I was child number three. I had an older brother, so I got all his clothes. He, for some reason, had a good taste in shoes and had big feet. And I have size 13, so I definitely had to have the right size of shoe. And it fit. And so I learned to just to make do with whatever was handed to me, and the occasional time my family would go out and go shopping for clothes, it was just a great joy. So growing up at home, I just had to make do with whatever the circumstances were. It wasn't necessarily that I had a choice, I just had to. We didn't have the means to just go all out and get every little thing that I wanted. However, when I left home, went to college in Florida, came to the States, earning my own money. I worked a job in a restaurant as a server and paid for college. And I had a little bit of extra, a little margin to buy myself my own clothes. And that's when something shifted. I saw what everybody else had. I saw the way they were living, the things, the tools, the toys that they had, that they owned. And it all of a sudden created something in me that I wanted that too. I wanted to dress as cool as they were dressing, so I went to a Christian college that had a dress code, so I tried dressing as cool as you could in khakis and polo tucked in. So some of my friends would like pop up their collars like, "Whoa, really rocking the dress code." And so I did whatever I could to try blend and fit in to look like I had it all together. But that continued. As I graduated from college, I got a job up here in the area, Northern Virginia. I was a programmer then. And so I tried adapting to my surroundings, to the environment. So now people were driving nice cars, and I had a rickety Ford Escort that eventually broke down on the Beltway, which was not good. But I tried blending in, and then I got a Honda Civic. I was like, yes, okay, cool. I'm rolling with everybody else. Looks kind of like a Beamer, maybe. So I tried blending in. Again, at work, had a dress code, so I wanted a nice button-down shirt. And it was always, it didn't stop. I was always trying to fit in, and I would be incontent with what I had because of what I saw around me, what everybody else had. I somehow wanted. And you may feel the same way. Maybe you kind of struggle with that. Your environment, oh, they have this. They have this little gadget. They have this. Well, I want that. Let's go to the next slide. Before we go to the next slide, let me kind of introduce. So I really loved watching The Apprentice, Donald Trump's The Apprentice show. But then once it became The Celebrity Apprentice, I just kind of lost a little interest in it. Occasionally I'll turn it on here and there. But it wasn't as interesting because I couldn't relate to them. They had way more than I had. They were tossing around, here $1 million, here $50,000 for this. I'm like, this is crazy. Like, I can't even relate to that. But I have the trailer here. We'll show the trailer to this series. All right, so the song that goes along with the intro to that is actually, I had to look it up. It's called For the Love of Money, and it's by the OJs. But interestingly, in that song, they quote at least a portion of the chapter that I'm talking on today, and that's 1 Timothy chapter 6. They say, I know money is the root of all evil. Well, it doesn't exactly say that from the Bible. Many people misquote it, but we're going to be taking a look at that today. So if you have your Bibles, you can go ahead and turn to 1 Timothy chapter 6. I'm not going to read all of it, and we have it up on the screen. You can follow along. I'm going to start here in verse 6. And it said, actually, if you back up in verse chapter 5, it's talking about false teachers. And it says here, speaking of false teachers, they have been robbed of the truth, who think that godliness is a means to financial gain. So people, paid professionals, now are all of a sudden not teaching God's word so that other people can learn and grow in their relationship with God. They're doing it to get money. Now they've turned it into a business. And so that kind of addresses what it's going to be talking about in the following verses. And then it goes on in verse 6, but godliness with contentment is great gain. For we brought nothing into the world, and we can take nothing out of it. But if we have food and clothing, we will be content with that. People who want to get rich fall into temptation and a trap and into many foolish and harmful desires that plunge men into ruin and destruction. And here it is. For the love of money is a root of all kinds of evil. Some people eager for money have wandered from the faith and pierced themselves with many griefs. Here's the instruction. In verse 11, it says, but you, man of God, flee from all of this and pursue righteousness, godliness, faith, love, endurance, and gentleness. That's my challenge for you. So for you, rising freshmen, I want to remind you of where we live, what our culture acts like. You may already know this. It starts early on, even before junior high. This is the culture we live in. We want to have things. We see something that somebody else has, and now we have to have it. And it's so hard for us to learn to be content. And contentment is like this, or money, the pursuing money, not discontentment is like this. It keeps us from pursuing godliness. So this is just a short rope. But I was just kind of trying to think about it. I was like, well, there's like a battle going on. There's a tension here in this text. It's talking about, hey, be content and pursue godliness. But then it's also talking about the lifestyle, the way the world is pursuing riches and personal gain and material things and wealth. But you know what? That's on one side. Wealth, riches, and pursuing and chasing after that, having the nice job and getting all the latest. And godliness is on the other side. And they're tugging against each other. It's hard to pursue godliness while pursuing wealth and riches. And yes, and we'll talk in if you read a little bit further on, and I'll read it in just a second, how that God will bless us with all those things. But that doesn't mean that we should be pursuing after those things. It says later on in Philippians, Paul, the same author of 1 Timothy, says, I have learned to be content whatever the circumstances. This comes from a man who was chased. He was persecuted for what he believed. He was a devout Christian. He became a devout Christian, and he was stoned and shipwrecked and imprisoned several times. And this was a guy that said, you know what? I've learned to be content whatever the circumstances that I'm in. And that's what I would like to encourage you. For you rising freshmen coming in, you may see a lot going on here, and you may feel like, oh, I just need this. Oh, well, if I get this, then I'll be content. For you graduating seniors, going off to college, you're going to be in a new environment with surroundings. You're going to be around people that have things that you don't have, and you feel like, well, if I just get this, if I just get a car, then I can drive around, and then everything will be perfect. And for you parents, in that world, the business world, where, yes, we all have needs, and there's things that we do need, but sometimes we say, well, I just like to have nice things, as in like excuse to sell what isn't broken to get something that we don't really need. And I just want to encourage you this morning. And then also here in verses 17 through 19, Paul says, 1 Timothy 6, 17 through 19, it says, command those who are rich in this present world not to be arrogant, nor to put their hope in wealth, which is so uncertain, but to put their hope in God, who richly provides us with everything for our enjoyment. Command them to do good, to be rich in good deeds, and to be generous and willing to share. In this way, they will lay up treasure for themselves as a firm foundation for the coming age, so that they may take hold of the life that is truly life. And that's what he's saying. He's like, look, don't put your hope in these things. It won't satisfy. And we see stories after stories of the people that are on The Apprentice and celebrities that they aren't satisfied. They keep pursuing more. And you know what they're doing? They're putting their hope in what they have and what plans they have. And I married, I have a wife, and I noticed I kind of got in this trap. Like I felt like, oh, well, I need to have a savings here to protect against this. I need to have 401k retirement, so in case this goes wrong. But I'm resting. I'm putting my hope and my trust in what I have planned and my own security. But by doing that, you know what I'm saying? I'm saying, God, I can't trust you. I'm not willing to be dependent on you. I want to be self-dependent and dependent on myself. And that's what I want to encourage you to. And he says, you know what? Put your hope in God. Trust in God. And you know what? And by doing that, and be generous, and you're going to store up treasures and riches in heaven. In the age to come, it's talking about heaven, where one day when we're in heaven, we can look and say, oh, thank God that I invested in the right things, that I spent my time, I put my money towards the things that truly mattered, that are not just short-term, a shirt on my back. And yeah, we all need clothes and shoes and there are things, but sometimes we don't necessarily need something. And so the topic of my message today was hope and contentment, how we can be content and have hope in Christ and put our trust in Christ. And so I have a couple questions so you can kind of turn around, form a group. And I have two questions on the board. Just kind of form a group of like four or five people here. Just turn around and create a little circle. And here's the first question. Why is it so hard to be content with what I have? And then the second question is, how can I learn to put my hope in God instead of money and my possessions? And you parents can get involved as well. You can form a little group and talk with each other. Okay, I'm going to wrap it up. I hope the discussion was helpful to you. When we put our hope in God, when we trust in God, it means we're not trusting in the money in the bank, what we have, what we're wearing, the top education that we have, the nice education. We're not putting our trust and our hope in the glamorous resume packed full with all kinds of great experiences. None of this. We're trusting in God, and we say, God, I'm going to do the best that I know how. Give me the wisdom to do the best that I know how, and I'm going to trust in you for the rest. And then we can enjoy, when we're trusting in God, we can go through life circumstances like losing a parent or losing a family member, a friend, or a job. And we can be like, Lord, I've been faithful to you. I've been faithful with what you've called me to do, and I just trust in you. And we can go through those moments with joy and dependency on God. And I would love for all of you to see that. And education is great, and savings accounts are great, and I do the same thing. I'm wise with whatever I can. But then, at the end of the day, I want to trust in God. And I have to remind myself. And contentment is a practice that requires discipline. It's a choice, but it requires a lot of discipline. We need to remind ourselves continually. Am I putting my trust and my hope in God? Or am I doing that in myself? And that's what I would like to challenge you guys today. So let me go ahead and pray, and then we're done. Dear Heavenly Father, Lord, I just thank you for this chapter and for just reminding me of what I need to be doing each and every day. Lord, I just pray that you would give me the strength to trust in you and just remind me of that. And Lord, I just thank you for this good group of guys and girls, and Lord, I just pray that you would stretch them, and that this passage was encouragement to them as well. Help us just to enjoy the rest of the day. In Jesus' name, amen.